Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Seasonal Tokens Podcast, where Polar interviews people so you can do more investing and less gambling.
Hello everyone, it is Polar here from Seasonal Tokens. Welcome on another episode of the Seasonal Tokens Podcast. And today we have Rick again on our podcast for the part two of our discussion. And this time we are talking about the US dollar situation, how Rick plans to make the future bright for us, because currently the future is not that bright, and what actually trickle-up economy means. So if you want to know how things can get better and how you can survive this situation, you should definitely listen to this episode. So enjoy. Yeah, and actually this is very much related to what I was thinking to ask you about, like how do you see all this leading to the difficulties that the US dollar is having? Do you think that actually these bank failures are somehow speeding up the process of the failure of dollar, or it is actually the opposite, that it is helping the US dollar to keep its strong position?
Well, basically, I mean, it looks to me like we're being forced to invest in the United States. You know what I'm saying? The United States that prints the dollar. The person who prints the dollar, okay, is the person that we have to invest in if we want to get an interest on our U.S. dollars. So it's an incredible capture, so to speak. And by the way, capture is another one of these fractals or whatever that you see everywhere around you. Okay, so what do you see, right? You see boom bust, the overnight boom bust that I mentioned. Okay, you also see number two, you see monopoly. Everywhere you look is monopoly, right? You look at the media, it's a perfect example. What do you see? You see, like, there used to be like hundreds of media, independent media. Now there's only like four or five or six. Some people say there's even less. And a lot of people say that the ones competing against each other are owned by the same people. You know, you look at political parties. What do you see? You see the same donor betting on both horses. The biggest one, in other words, both parties, their biggest donor is the same guy. So you see all of these things all around you. And the one that you just mentioned, which was, what was your question? It also relates to the same thing. It wasn't monopoly, was it?
The dollar.
Well, the dollar is absolutely, you see that because, we're basically it's capture is the one I wanted to tell you. Okay, capture. Look around and what do you see? We're kind of being captured by the system is capturing us because we are now forced into basically investing in our country's printing operation. We're forced to invest in the dollar because when you put your money in U.S. treasuries, you know, that's something that they used to do in wartime, right? You used to see it happen in World War II or whatever. But now it's happening now. And now we're forcing everybody into it. It's almost like a mandate. It's almost like a soft mandate because your bank is blowing up. So you got to get your money out of there. And where are you going to put it? Well, you can either go directly into U.S. treasuries or you can put it in a bank and then open it from a bank account to a U.S. treasury. But it looks like we're herded into treasuries when it comes to fiat currency, the most powerful fiat currency or the strongest one being the U.S. dollar. And then when you go to capture, you see capture everywhere. Okay. I'm a philanthropist and I'm interested in helping solve our world's problems. And I see it like, you know, a lot of times I'll see a city that has the polluted air. All the people are choking and getting sick from the air. Then you say, well, how can we sell? Well, there's a company called, you know, Clean Air such and such, where it could be Clean Air Salt Lake City or whatever. And you go to that company And you take a look at that company, and what do you see? Well, you see their biggest donor, if you look into it. The biggest donor to the clean air company is the smelting company that's polluting the air. Okay, that's what I mean by capture. You see it all around you, regulatory capture, all kinds of capture where you think you are helping something and really you're just a tuna net because they're just catching you. They're catching you by trying to solve the problem. If you try to help the oceans, right? I mean, there was a documentary that came out, was called something about a burger or something like that. I forgot the name of it. But anyway, it's a great documentary filmed by some guy with a camera, lost his funding because of what he wasn't covering. And basically, if you want to help the oceans, you look at this, you know, nonprofit. Well, then you find out the nonprofit's biggest donor is the oil company that's polluting, that they're supposed to be against. You see what I'm saying? So these are the kinds of things that you see over and over and over again, and capture being one of them. And right now, capture does play into this because people are being herded out of their independent bank accounts where they thought they had some autonomy to choose, where they thought they had some sort of freedom, and they're being herded into a situation where they either have to go with the most powerful bank or a combination of that bank and U.S. Treasuries to get interest, or just invest in the U.S. Treasuries directly. You see what I mean? Either through your bank or without your bank, you can open up an account, and that's where it looks like it's all heading.
I'm sorry to say that all that you are saying is a sad truth. At least in my mind, I was thinking about the same thing, and it doesn't feel very well when you realize what's happening. But at the same time, it's great that let's say that there are some great people like you, I suppose, that want to change this. So maybe without making it too promotional, but I think we have gone too much in the sad reality. So people need a little bit more positivity, or at least I need some positive right now after this conversation. You know, I think it would be nice to share your idea as a philanthropist. Sorry, it's a lengthy word,
yeah,
and difficult to pronounce. How do you think a person can change the situation? What's your way to change the status quo and removing these nets from our life?
Well, what I have really is a lot of positivity when you open up that door. There's a lot of positivity because, you know, we're in something now. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's called the fourth turning, but you could look that up. I forgot the guy, Doug something, who came many years ago. And it's a cycle. It's like an 85 to 90 years long, somewhere in between that. Every 90 years or so, you see the same cycle. And the fourth turning is a cycle of war where things get so backwards that you can literally solve a problem by simply just going 180 degrees from backwards to forwards, AC to DC, so to speak. And you see that you can do the opposite of what you're doing and literally solve the problem. And I'm fascinated by it because it's not necessarily changing, but rather introducing. And so what we all know is that word trickle down. We hear it all the time. Yeah, here's what we're going to do. We're going to print all this fiat money. It's all going to go to these people in Wall Street or whatever. And then guess what you get to do? You get to just sit there and hope and pray that some of it trickles down to you. You know, trickle down economy. Everyone's heard the word trickle down economy. So I've been involved in helping outstanding causes with a fundraising model where basically funds trickle up. And what I think is a great addition and solution, and I would like to see even the people, you know, nobody wants to give up their power, all that stuff, but what about these people in power? Do they really want this destruction that we're reaping just so they can hold on to this power? This is where it's become sad, because this is part of a lot of problems are not so much humans, but human nature. And if you look at human nature, you'll see that any of us, it's almost like whack-a-mole. You take this guy out and you put one of us in, we might start acting like that because we're governed by the laws of human nature. And human nature for any of us is We don't want to give up that which we have, and we'll tend to cling to it, and then become destructive, and we'll destroy you, we'll destroy ourselves, everything will be destroyed just because we don't want to let go of this thing that we have. We're afraid to lose that which we have, the status quo, as you mentioned. What I want to introduce to people who say, you know what, I want to hold on to what I have, but I don't want to see the whole world go to, you know, hell in a handbasket like it's doing just so I can hold on to it. Well, great. What I want to introduce is trickle up. So instead of trickle down, let's keep it simple. Trickle up. Now, how do we introduce a trickle up? Well, you can do it through, you know, da-da-da, voila, cryptocurrency, as this show is about. And here is the amazing thing, okay? We can take this, the topic of this show, and now we've got the most amazing possible solution to these problems simply by reversing the paradigm, which I'm able to do, not because I'm a genius, but because we're in the fourth turning, where you actually get to the point where things are so backwards, you can easily get the solution by simply turning it upside down. And what I want to do is not destroy what we have, but introduce trickle up to coincide with trickle down, okay? Trickle up is very simple. It's a cryptocurrency. We have it. It's called Jazz for Peace Trickle, okay? And the reason it's called Jazz for Peace Trickle is because it's the world's first philanthropic cryptocurrency. It is only made for that. And what the great thing about the blockchain, as you know, is you can make laws and rules for a currency. The currency can exist along these lines. And what I want is the first philanthropic cryptocurrency that's ever been created. And the whole point of this currency is to identify the people that really want to solve our problems, as Jazz for Peace has been doing. We are a benefit concert series. You'll actually hear some jazz because we did it with music later in the show, I know. But we took our country's greatest art form and we used it to help outstanding causes by introducing it with a fundraising model. So it's the same thing we're doing here. We took this great art form, a world-class cultural event, we put it with the fundraising model, okay? And now the combination of those two has been able to help over 850 of the world's most outstanding causes. And not in my opinion, but in their opinion, which is why I'm so inspired and why I keep doing what I'm doing, because we have a page that we listed all. You go to jazzforpeace.wordpress.com/about. And that page, you can scroll down and see, you can see our tree, our fundraising tree, and you can scroll down and you can see all these testimonies from all these organizations. These are outstanding causes who are more interested in solving our world's problems than they are in scamming the United States government out of paying their taxes, okay, which is what's going on a lot in the nonprofit world. So we want to uncover the ones that really, because I'll be honest with you, Poe, when you solve a problem and you make a contribution to society, you feel a lot more wealthy inside, in your heart, in your spirit, than you do when you just scam somebody like out of a lot of money and you Sam Bankman-Fried your way. You know what I mean? So, you know, these people, I've met them. They're really rich and I'm inspired by them. And I feel like it's making me richer inside than, you know, what I pulled off, which wasn't easy, you know, shorting the stock market back in the day when we talked. And nothing wrong with that. I'm all for investing, which is why we're on the show. But what we want to do here is we want to combine this cryptocurrency with the blockchain in a way that you now have, you're creating a philanthropic use for it. And what we do here is we can identify the outstanding causes that really are putting achievement before profit because they want to solve our world's problems. And there are outstanding causes for every problem we have in the world. You'll find a person who really wants to solve that more than anything. And guess what we do? We've already been doing it now. We've been uncovering them and helping them with our benefit concert series. So when we uncover one of these, we also help them via the Jazz for Peace currency trickle. They get the cryptocurrency, okay, for free, basically. They get it as part of their grant award, as part of the whole fundraising process. They get this Jazz for Peace trickle-up cryptocurrency. They get it first instead of last. Because if you look at the trickle-down situation, you'll see organizations that spend 361 days out of the year fundraising, trying to get the money, and then 4 days trying to save the world. You know, it's insane. So we want to do this opposite. We want to get them the money first, so now they can put all of their energy, instead of putting all their energy in front. And this is why you have so much corruption, because some of these people, they wise up and they say, you know what, screw it. I want to do something to help the climate, but I can't get funding and I'm spending all my time. I'm just going to go over to BP or whatever and tell them, hey, I'll make you guys look like you're really not who you are. And they'll give you some money. And now you're funded. Now you're captured. You see what I mean? So in this instance, it's trickle up. They who really want to solve these problems get the money first. And over the process of solving the actual problem, okay, it could be a river that it could be whatever it is, you know, a river that's polluted, any outstanding causes, there's a zillion of them out there. They spend that money and it trickles up instead of trickle down. Is that resonating? Does it make sense?
Yeah. It was a little bit more lengthy than I was expecting, but
sorry about that. Yeah.
But I suppose it was needed because it's a new concept. I would say it's very interesting, no doubt about it. But I hope that more people will understand how beneficial would be to actually support causes that make sense and that are not captured. But maybe it will take time. So in all this sense that we are currently talking, and like we have your great project, but at the same time, we have this tremendous boom in bank failures, USD collapsing and things like that. In that situation, what do you think a beginner crypto investor should do to survive it and make it over this thing?
Okay, so, you know, I think, first of all, you should consider the fact that cryptocurrency is, you're investing in it because I hope you're investing in it not purely out of greed, but because you believe in the concept and you understand that there are fundamental problems with the fiat world. Would you agree to that there are some fundamental problems with fiat currency?
Absolutely, no doubt about it.
Right. So when you have somebody like you and hopefully the others that are listening that are looking at the big picture and saying, hey, there are fundamental problems, what you would want to do is you know, look at the fact that some cryptocurrencies, there might be this, you know, whitewash where, you know, some of them might go to zero and some of them might survive. And, you know, just keep in mind that you can use the same chart patterns and the same fractals and all these investing, put it with your own thing, your own style of trading. And then if you believe in a cryptocurrency, of course, there is something where you can hold it in the long term. So I would say, you know, just keep all of those things in mind and, you know, use your try to put the same good investing information and strategies to your crypto investing that you would put in any other, you know, type of company or whatever, stock or whatever. And I think if you do that, you'll be okay. And that includes buy and hold, HODL, what you say. If you really, really believe in something, consider the possibility that you could be wrong. That one could go to zero, but you're holding it because you believe on it and you're just going to hold that one long term. Does that make sense?
It makes a total sense. And I agree with all that you're saying. So one more thing before I let you go, because I think that there is a lot of information for people to consume. Don't want to overwhelm them. And like I said in the beginning of the conversation, it is definitely a very exciting and valuable conversation from my point of view. So, Rick, before I let you go and before we hear what you have prepared for you as a surprise to all of our listeners that are with us, can you tell me your perspective on this question? How do you think a person can do more investing rather than gambling in crypto?
Well, I really think the best way to do it rather than gambling is to study the tried and true methods that other investors who have nothing to do with crypto have studied. So, you know, I'll give you an example. When I first started with the real estate, you know, in my heart, I felt the same way as many of you do now with crypto. Hey, something is seriously, seriously wrong. And I want to put my, you know, I want to put a little skin in the game towards my belief. And one of them would tell me, hey, you know, there's a book that everybody on Wall Street reads. It's called Reminiscence of a Stock Operator. Have you ever heard of that?
Honestly, I'm hearing it for the first time.
Okay, so there's an example of a book that all these guys who invest have read. You know, I would like look at it as not that, you know, cryptocurrency may be separate in, you know, in your eyes and in your thought, and people might look at you as, you know, oh, these are the cryptocurrency guys, they're separate. But think of it as these fractals that I'm talking about, boom, bust. Okay, remember I was telling you that? They exist in everywhere. And all of these little things exist in everywhere, and they exist in cryptocurrency. For example, I just saw the boom bust cycle happen in a canyon in Utah, where skiing, they have the greatest skiing in North America. So there was this canyon, and if you look at Utah, this area, it received more snow this past year than any other year since the advent of skiing. And all this snow, and it was an amazing thing. And like all these skiers were getting these powder days, and they were having this epic experience, and it kept going higher and higher. The money that the ski resorts were making was breaking off. All the records were breaking. And overnight, the entire canyon collapsed, and it's been a ghost town ever since. The canyon today, I get intel from people because I'm a skier. I became a ski bum when the stock market went down, by the way. I get intel that the whole canyon is closed right now. You can't even get up the road. For the next 4 days, they're not expecting it to even think about opening it because of all of the collapse and the slides, and now the wet slides because the super hot weather has come. And in other words, boom, overnight, boom, bust. Consider these investing techniques that all these great people have been using. Use them with your cryptocurrency investing, and I think you'll be fine. Now, just to simplify, just so you know, to simplify what I was talking about, because I know I haven't made it as simple. When try to make things simple in your investing, like I've been trying to do with this cryptocurrency. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to say, look, we have a trickle-down economy. I want to introduce a trickle-up economy, but only for philanthropy, so that the people doing the great work will get the funding first, and they won't have to search all year long for funding. And then when they spend it, the money trickles up instead of trickle down. So if you could put your investing in simple sentences, like I'm trying to do, hopefully, you'll also see the results and rewards in that.
Amazing, amazing answer. Yeah, what you're saying makes total sense. And I think this concept of something becoming very, very big and then booming is something that we have seen many times in crypto, and it's not something that crypto has invented. So we can definitely learn from other investment assets that have a long history, much longer than crypto and NFTs, for example. But yeah, Rick, before I let you go, let me hear your surprise for us, please.
Okay, so I'm going to do something very similar to what I've been trying to tell your listeners to do, which is take that which has come all along, these concepts that have come along, and then from that fabric, then you can utilize that in your own new journey investing in crypto. And we're going to take a new journey in jazz right now. We're going to start with an old song. It's an old song by Etta James, actually, called The Sunday Kind of Love. I'm only going to play a little bit of that, but then you're going to see me go into the jazz of today, the crypto jazz of what we might call the newer jazz, the avant-garde. And I'm going to make it up completely from scratch. It's going to be unique to your show. No one will be able to hear this if they come to your show because I won't be able to play it myself. I don't even know what I'm going to play is my point. So we'll soon find out what happens. Good or bad, we'll soon find out. That's what jazz is anyway. I want a Sunday kind of love. Love to last past Saturday night. I like to know it's more than love at first sight.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's great to be on a concert, on a private concert from Rick Devarata. Thank you very much, my friend. It was an amazing pleasure to have you as a guest, to hear this performance. Thank you very much. You are a very wise man.
My pleasure, Poe. By the way, that was an improvisation called Free J.A., and it kind of stands for freedom of speech, freedom of journalists to report on the things that they see, and our human rights and things of that nature. So it's something I've been doing on every podcast, and I'm honored to do it for you today.
Thank you very much again. Like, it would be great if we can live in such world. Like, it may take some time, but it's not an impossible goal. So thank you very much, Rick. Again, it was an amazing pleasure to have you here.
Okay, thank you so much, Paul.
And thank you very much to all of our listeners that have been with us so far. This song was for you. And if you enjoy what you have learned, make sure to subscribe, share, because this is the way to support the podcast. And in all cases, I'm Paul from Seasonal Tokens, and I'll talk to you on the next episode. Bye.